Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
David often spoke of God as his rock and his fortress. Jesus Christ is our rock and our fortress. When you declare this, you are appropriating for yourself these promises of Scripture, and you can encourage yourself in a time of trial. Please open your Bible to Psalm 31 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of David's prayer for deliverance.
The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It doesn't mean so. No, I'm a redeemed of the Lord. Acknowledge it, declare it, speak it. It's true. Hello? He's just acknowledging what God said. And how many times at the end does the enemy want? Did God really say that? Remember the first lie? Did God really say that? Is he really your shepherd? Did God really say he's your shepherd? Did God really say that he's your strong tower? Did God really say that? Yes, he did. And sometimes the time to say it is when you don't feel like saying it, when you're in the pit, when you're being overwhelmed, when you're being discouraged, when the enemy comes in like a flood, take out the promises of God and begin to speak them with all of your heart because they are true. I just saved you guys like $100 of counseling for an hour. You could sit on the couch and lie down and say, well, tell me what's wrong with you. You know, the Lord is the wonderful counselor. And he counsels us with his word. And David's just acknowledging. He is just acknowledging what God has declared. You know, confession means to say the same thing. You and I, when we think of confession, we normally think of if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. But you know, to confess means to agree with God. That works in the good end too. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The people of God shall be strong and do exploits. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, saith the Lord. Just acknowledging what God says. Amen? And then he acknowledges what God says, and then he says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for you are my strength. That word strength there, beloved, means stronghold. Stronghold. It says in the book of, I believe it's Nahum. Let me see. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I love this. Write it down. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. The Lord is good. And then he mentions trouble. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. You see, we usually say, God, you're good when there is no trouble. But he's good, even when there is trouble. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows them to trust in him. He knows you're trusting in him. He's good. He's good. The net was a military weapon that was used to capture prisoners. And David asked God to pull him out of the net that was set by those who were against him and opposed him. And then in verse 5, this should ring a bell to you. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Sound familiar? Luke 23:46. When Jesus Christ was broken on the cross and insulted by his enemies, he took up the prayer of this psalm and he offered it to his Father. Isn't it something? Even Jesus, this is what I've been saying. Even as Son of Man, who emptied himself, would often quote or refer to the word of God, a messianic psalm. There he is on the cross, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And from his whole life, our precious Lord's whole life, from Mary's womb to the cross, was a model of what? Submission to God's sovereign will. Lord, I commit myself to you. You've redeemed me. I belong to you. Remember in Acts chapter 7, verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. And Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I was reading this account of John Huss. John Huss was one of the prominent early Protestant Reformation men. And he lived about 100 years before Martin Luther. And he was put to death, history records tell us, by the Council of Constance. And if you can read about that whole trial and everything. But it ended up like this. Quote, as he was condemned to death, the bishop who conducted the ceremony ended with the chilling words. Listen to this. And now we commit my soul to the devil. Huss replied calmly, I commit my spirit into thy hands, Lord Jesus Christ. Unto thee I commit my spirit, which you have redeemed. That's when he is paying the ultimate price for following Jesus' death. You know, and I can't speak for you, but we're all growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I know myself that it's very easy to say that I have faith in God. Oh, Lord, I am fully committed to you. And then he'll say, okay, there's a test. There's an enemy. Yeah? Love them. Huh? Can I have another test? Into thy hand, Lord, I commit my spirit, my circumstances. Well, think of the option. Lord, you can step aside. I'll take care of this. How's that worked out for you? That ever worked out good for you? Lord, I'll take care of it. Into thy hand I commit this. I'm trusting you. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And to live by faith means that you surrender the right to have to understand everything. Lord, I commit myself to you. I commit this situation to you. I commit it to you. Yes, I'm committed to prayer. I'm committed to do what is right, but I'm trusting you, Lord. And Jesus, the Son of Man, on the cross, uttered these same words. Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Notice the contrast. Lying vanities, the false gods, the pagan gods. David says, that's not where I want to be. Lord, I'm trusting. I'm confidently leaning upon you. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. That speaks of God's steadfast love. For you have considered my trouble. The Hebrew word for trouble there is Lord, you know better than anybody the misery that I'm in, the deep distress that I'm in. You have well known, that's what it means, my soul in adversities. You know what David is saying here? David is saying here that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, even though he was crying out to God for help, he deep down inside knew how God identified with David in his most difficult times. That's why David was able to sing for joy, because he knew that God loved him with a covenant kind of love. You have known my soul in adversities. He knows what you're going through, why you're going through it. And he promises to be there with you. You have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large room. What does that mean? That David would say, you've set my feet in a large room. You ever, I've never done this. Maybe some of you that are more gymnastically inclined. You ever walk on a beam? You know, you kind of do that. Right? Ever do that? Anybody out here ever do that? Paul, you did that? Wow, good for you, Paul. Jose, yeah. And, you know, well, for me, if you get up there, I've gotten up there and I look down and I get dizzy. And I want solid ground, right? And it's as if David is saying, you know, my life sometimes has been like walking on a beam. I'm dizzy, and I don't know where I'm going. But Lord, you've taken me off that beam. You've set me on solid ground. What a beautiful picture. I think so. You know, when you and I are walking fully clothed in the armor of God, our feet are shod with what? Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Even, listen to this, why do you have to put on armor? Because you're under attack, right? The enemy fires away at you, doesn't he? Fiery darts at the enemy. Fiery darts of discouragement, fiery darts of depression, fiery darts of just name it. I don't want to bum you out. And yet in the midst of it, our feet are shod what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. I have peace in the battle, peace in the warfare, because God has set my feet on solid ground. Now, that's good news. That's another thing I said to encourage you tonight. You've set my feet on solid ground. And my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because the Prince of Peace dwells in me. You've got the armor of God. And that's what David is saying here. Basically what he's saying here. You have not let the enemy get the best of me. Now, the enemy wants to get the best of you. You know that? And he wants to get the best of me. And I know that. And you know the only thing he can get the best of you with is a lie. That's the only thing he can get the best of you with. He will lie to you. He will contradict any promise of God. He will try to influence you to believe the lie. That's the only weapon that he has. But thank God that we have the word of truth. Thank God that we are in a covenant relationship with the one that says, I am the truth. We are at the advantage. You see, we are never on the defensive. We are on the offensive. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from a position of victory. Our feet are on solid ground tonight. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. Where trouble there means distressed. My eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. I love how real David is. He acknowledges the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the deliverance of power of God. And yet here he is. He's still crying out. He still has his eyes are filled with tears because of what he's going through. He's not this stoic. He's not like Spock on Star Trek. You are a real human being. You have real emotions. You really get discouraged. You really feel like crying. You really get overwhelmed at times. That's true. But it's not hypocritical to say in the midst of that, Lord, but you're my rock. You're my stronghold. You're my hope. My eye is consumed with grief. I'm preaching to the choir. I've heard some of your stories. And yet, you are a child of the living God. You're a son of the living God. You're a daughter of the living God who is well acquainted with your grief and with your adversities. My life is, verse 10, spent with grief. My years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. What made David weak? Did God make David weak? His iniquity made him weak. His iniquity zapped him of the strength that he could have had. And you and I know that story. We won't go down there tonight. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. You ever been like that? You're like, nobody even notices me. It's like I'm invisible. Forgotten like a dead man. You have a neighbor, friend, family member, treats you like a dead man, written you off? Anybody? Ever happened to you? Don't think you're alone. David felt like that. There's a lot of people that feel like that. And he says this. I have heard the slander, the whisperings of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together. They schemed against me. They plotted to take away my life. We know that in his younger years, David had to flee from King Saul when people whispered about him and planned to kill him. We know that there was a time when his son Absalom whispered against him and tried to take the throne. We know that there were men like Sheba and Amasa that plotted against him. And David, it just seems like there were so many times that people wanted to do him in, wanted to kill him, wanted to persecute him. He says in verse 14, "But I trusted in you, O Lord. I said, you are my God." Charles Spurgeon said this, "He that can say, this kingdom is mine, makes a royal claim. He that can say, this mountain of silver is mine, makes a wealthy claim. But he that can say to the Lord, you are my God, has said more than all monarchs and millionaires can speak. You are my God." Can I get one amen? Yeah, you are my God. Verse 15, "My times are where? In thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute you." David here is expressing his belief. Even though he wrestled with life, even though he had times of difficulty, there was this core belief that all of his life circumstances were under God's control. Every single second. The Bible says that the way of man is not in himself. And let me add to that. It's not in your friend's hands. It's not in your enemy's hands. It's in God's hands. Your times are in God's hands. And it's been said that knowing that God loves and cares for us enables us to keep steady in our faith regardless of your circumstances. "Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Verse 19, what a promise this verse is. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear thee, which you have wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Abundant goodness. Do you fear the Lord tonight? The Bible says he's got a mountain of goodness for those who fear him. Those who fear him. What a verse. "You shall hide them, those that fear him, in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord." Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Here he is, surrounded by enemies, and he just says, "Oh, blessed be the Lord." Do you ever find yourself under enemy attack and you're trying to think this out and you're concerned about this and you're trying to just sort through all of the emotion of how am I going to deal with this and what's going on? Just think that what I pray that the Lord put this in my mind the next time, not if, the next time you're under enemy attack, out of nowhere go, "Blessed be the Lord! Blessed be the Lord." You know, it's like a fire extinguisher. Dosing out a fire. Here's the enemy. All the fiery darts. And you go, "Blessed be the Lord. My times are in your hand. Yes, Jesus. Yes, yes. Blessed be the Lord." I guarantee the enemy doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't want to hear that. And when you do that, that's like boom. That's like the knockout. Because he wants you to do anything but bless the Lord. He wants you to do anything but acknowledge, "My times are in my God's hands. Blessed be the Lord. He has showed me his marvelous kindness in this strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes." In other words, God, I'm sorry. I've said that you've forgotten about me so many times. I've said it in my haste. I've said it in my emotions. You guys have never said it, but I have. God, where were you? God, why? How come? You guys have never said it, but I have. I'm making a confession. David said, I said in my haste. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications. He didn't say, oh yeah? Okay. Oh, love the Lord, verses 23 and 24. And we'll close with these. Oh, love the Lord, O ye his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful. The Bible says that you and I are preserved in Christ Jesus. We are preserved unto the day of redemption. Preserved. And notice, and he plentifully rewards the proud doer. That verse is often misunderstood, as if you and I can be proud doers. No, no, no. You know what it is? That's a rebuke of those who are filled with pride. That's a rebuke against those who refuse to live in humble reliance upon the Lord. See, one of the things that we have to remember is eternity. Eternity. God is not limited in his justice just here on earth. He's not limited by death. What this verse is saying is that he has shame and judgment in store for all those who speak against him and his people. And that justice may not be measured out now, but it will. Ultimately, God balances the scales of justice. That's why the Bible says to you and me as his children, don't you think of getting even. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I love this quote. I think it was from one of the Puritans. I'm not sure. The long arm of God's law reaches beyond the grave to disgrace the wicked forever and ever and ever. And then the last verse. And so he says this. Look at, oh, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Notice, he says, be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. You know how we use the Lord? Give me strength, and I'll be courageous. He says, no, you be of good courage, and I'll strengthen your heart. You see how that works? I remember one time, Ben's dad had asked me to preach. Ben wasn't on the trip. He had asked me to preach at a village in India. And there's some villages where the people are, you know, they're nice, they're pleasant. These guys were not nice. And they were not happy that we were there. And so my dear friend Joseph tells me, you preach. These guys? I mean, there were guys that had spears. I'm thinking, that's it. I'm done. I'm toast. They don't want us here. I said, God, I wanted to tell them, I got laryngitis. I can't say anything. And I remember saying, as sure as Reuben said, I says, Lord, give me courage. He says, I'll give you courage if you don't act like a coward. So you know what happened? I said, well, tonight we're gathered here, and I just opened up the Word of God, and I started preaching. And as soon as I started preaching, I felt the peace of God that passed all understanding, and the crowd just dissipated. I don't think anybody got saved, but they didn't do any harm to us. It's always faith. Feelings follow faith. You see, we want the feelings first. Be courageous, and I will strengthen your heart. See, we walk by faith. And that's the aim of this whole chapter. It's for you and I to be strong, to trusting God in times of trouble. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.